Okay, now if you would like to stand, please do so now.
I heard an old, old story. His cleansing power revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, and little angels singing, and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory! Is to him. He plunged me to victory. soul arise. Shake off the guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice. On my behalf appears. Before the throne I surely stand. Before the throne I surely.
I can no longer.
my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee.
Amen. May be seated.
Morning, everybody. This morning, I'd like to share with you a story. It's going to be taken from a verse, Ecclesiastes 3:5. The story that I'm going to share with you this morning is about two young boys that grew up in a church, a small church, kind of similar to this church, actually. They grew up in the 1980s. This was a generation that was mostly without electronics. They had no video games, no pocket phones. The kids had to pretty much use their minds. These boys were always in the back row of the church. They were trying to entertain themselves, like kids do. They would come up with word games. They would play hangman to pass the time away. This particular Sunday night, they were playing a word game. They tried to make up as many words as they could from different sentences that they would give each other. One of the boys looked at the table in front of us. "Do this in remembrance of me," he said to the other kid. "Let's make up words out of that sentence." They would take those words and they would multiply those words, and that would be the points. And they would see who would have the most points. One of the boys came up with certain words like man, cat, and so on. The other boy came up with "embrace me." Embrace me. He really didn't think so much of it back then, those words put together. But he began to think of these words the years to come as he became a Christian, and he would come to the table. Each week, he would look at those words, and he would see the two words, "embrace me, embrace me." Ecclesiastes 3:5 says, "There is a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather those stones up together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing." You ever wonder what happens when a person embraces another person? When we embrace, our arms goes out, and we're kind of vulnerable, aren't we? We have to have trust in that other person. When we embrace, we show the affection to the other person in front of us. That person becomes very important to us. When we embrace, we're showing others that we approve of that individual. We allow them to come near to us and to our hearts. This is a physical bond, and even emotional bond, that they share. When we embrace, they almost become a part of us, don't they? Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to embrace, to come close together. This is the time to take, to come close to God, to embrace God, and to show Him how much you care. This is the time to gather together. Shall we pray? Dear God, we approach your throne, Father, this morning in great thanksgiving for who you are. Dear God, we just thank you for this time in our services that we can show you how much we care, that we can remember you and also embrace you for who you are. Dear God, we put all the things of last week and the weeks prior to that into your hands. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your support. We ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you and praise you for your love. And it's through your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good. the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. You're never gonna let down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down.
Just before we started the service, we were trying to line up when to pick up our lunch at Bob Evans. We're going to let him cook for us today on Mother's Day. Jen said, what time are we going to get out of here, Dad? Now, the reason she said that is I don't know how many years ago they asked me to do the sermon, but only once, because I think we were here like 12:30 or something. I thought I had, you know, just the right amount of bullet points. I was way off. So they haven't asked me since then. And so when Charlie came up with a great idea to for he, Noah, and I to fill in, and just gave us each a certain amount of time, and that's probably good. But yeah, Jen wanted to make sure that we weren't eating lunch at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So I thought I'd share that with you. What a great day, I tell you. Mother's Day is very, very important to all of us, for our mothers here and past. What a great and commendable job that God created. And think about in the Bible, when he created Eve, what did he say? This is good, like Jonathan's song. It is good. One of the best jobs on the planet is mothers, and what the impact that they have made on most of our lives, and it's what a blessing. We had a nice conversation at Sunday school this morning about what mothers mean to us and what some of our memories were of our mothers, and it's all good. My mom now being 86, the roles have changed a little bit, but boy, I tell you, she still cares every bit now like she always did. And she has reminded us, we talked about it in Sunday school, that mom said, just because you guys are up and out, it doesn't mean I quit worrying about you, because, of course, my mom worries on a good day. So I don't know if she hears this, I may be in trouble, but... But she, it's so true. You moms just have that heart. Well, what I've done is a collection of some poems and some readings here that I'd like to share with you this morning. The first one is entitled Blessed Mothers. Blessed are the mothers who love God, for their children shall not be ignorant of their Creator and His plans concerning them. Blessed are the mothers who love the word of God, for their children shall know of the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed are the mothers who love the house of God, for their children shall enter there and sit with them in the presence of God. Blessed are the mothers who love to pray, for their children shall feel the power of prayer, and many shall find salvation. Blessed are the mothers who love to give to the cause of Christ, for their children shall become supporters of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the mothers who love the family altar, for they shall have their reward in this world and the world to come. Blessed are the mothers who love to speak kind words to their neighbor's children, for thereby they shall win other boys and girls besides their own to Jesus Christ. Blessed are the mothers who love to be companions to their children, for they shall be called understanding mothers. Blessed are the mothers who love to fight life's battles bravely with strong and steadfast faith in God, for their children shall know where to find strength in time of need. Blessed are the mothers who, when they are old and gray, can look back upon memory's wall with no regret and can say, I brought my children up in the fear of the Lord. Theirs are the mansions in glory. Another thought I had too is, you certainly don't have to bear children to be a mother and a role model. And we've got a lady sitting right in the back of the church as prime example with Belinda. What a great mother that she has been to our children of the church when it comes to just greeting them, befriending them, and the VBS, all the time and energy that she spends with the kids. And she shows the kids how much she loves them. And really appreciate that. So it's not just those that have birth children. There's a lot of good role models out there as mothers. A good mother is a blessing. A good mother is a blessing from the Lord, a mother that will sacrifice in a very selfish world. A mother prays for her children. She kisses all their hurts. She wipes away the tears of life to harm she says she stays alert. A mother teaches her children to be honest and good, encourages them to stay strong and to do the things they should. A mother teaches her children to laugh in the hard times, how to pray about how they feel when life's not very kind. She teaches by how she lives, while trusting Christ, beloved, by the tears she sheds in prayer, by how she gives and loves. Though good moms are never perfect, they always love and pray. Even when the sun does not shine, they bring joy to each day. A mother teaches her children to do their very best, tells them not to go with the crowd, the faithful will be blessed. She teaches her children the truth, to trust God through this life. She teaches her daughters to love the man she'll one day wife. She teaches her son to be strong, courageous in what's right, to be willing to stand with strength and willing to fight. She teaches them to show respect wherever they may go. She teaches them to fear the Lord and God's good seed to sow. She teaches by how she lives while trusting Christ, beloved, by the tears she sheds in prayer, by how she gives and loves. Though good moms are never perfect, they always love and pray. Even when the sun does not shine, they bring joy to each day. And there were seven Bible verses that I had ran across on a sign online, and so I just want to share those with you quickly. And Jonathan, I think, is going to put them up on the screen. Proverbs 31:26, Bible verses for mothers. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:28. Her children arises up and calls her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love is not rude, it is not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Proverbs 31:31. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. And one of the most important, 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. God's masterpiece is mother. God took pieces of everything wonderful to make moms. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other, and when his masterpiece was through, he called it simply mother. Here is the three of the most influential mothers in my life, and I just asked Jonathan to put their pictures up on the screen. Mom's 86 now and still living at home and doing well, and she sure loves her family. And a great mother that has gone on, Eleanor. I've said it many times, I couldn't ask for a better mother-in-law. She, what an example, what a Christian example. And we We miss her on a daily basis, but she was certainly a fine example of a mother. And one of the greatest moms that I've ever seen. And grandmom, Momo. Just appreciate Susie so much. Now let's wrap up on a lighter side here. Before Noah comes up, I also wanted to share some great pictures of other kinds of mothers that you may seldom think about. And I'll just leave the stage with the little slideshow.
Good morning. Fortunately, in this generation, I have to use my phone, so I wrote all on my phone. So, as I was studying through the Word this week, there was one verse that particularly stood out to me, 1 Peter 3:1-6. And 1 Peter 3:1-6 stood out to me as I thought it was quite appropriate for Mother's Day. 1 Peter 3:1-6 says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." What a great example of what a mother should be, and I loved how the verse focused on what defined beauty. Not the beauty from jewelry or clothes, but the beauty of her inner self, of a gentle and quiet spirit. If that doesn't remind you of a mother, we can easily name sisters in Christ, like Greg mentioned, that has that gentle and quiet spirit. Setting and leading great examples for us spiritually. Also, we can think of our brothers in Christ that are males that are great mentors for us spiritually. But in the world that we live in today, we often need to get reminded of what beauty is. A world that demands perfection, a world that looks at beauty as an outward physical appearance. There are many more characteristics that can define a mother and a woman, but beauty and self-worth on the inside should definitely be at the top of the list. that the mother should realize the quality that she has. Also being a good cook for her family. So on this Mother's Day, let's thank every mother for the many things she has done. Or if we can't thank our mother today personally, since she has passed, let's remember and cherish the many memories that were spent together and think of them today and pray to God, thanking them for the many blessings he has given us to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We just thank you that we can gather together as a church. And we just thank you for all the mothers out there, and we thank you for our spiritual mothers as well. We just pray that you can guide us and protect us as for this week, and pray that we can leave this church building more aware of you. And we just can't thank you enough, Father, for all the many blessings you have given us. Please pray, Father, that you can forgive us as we do fall short daily, Father, and pray that we could forgive others too, so you can forgive us. We just, again, can't thank you enough, Father, for the people in the church, and pray that we can be a blessing to you and we can grow spiritually with you. In your heavenly name, amen.
This morning I'd like to share with you some interesting facts on Mother's Day. The most phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. Mother's Day is the biggest day of the year for restaurants. And 2018, over $23 billion, with a B, dollars were spent on Mother's Day. It would seem that our mothers are very important to us, and they are. Have you ever thought of all the jobs that our mothers do? These individuals, they become the unsung heroes of each and every family. The jobs that the mothers do include, but are not, listed as far as not only, as the following. Some of the jobs are a nurse, a cleaning service, a chef, a referee. I can see that if you have a lot of kids. A chauffeur, a life coach, an organizer, a chief financial advisor, an entertainer, a psychic or mind reader, and that's if you have teenagers, an investigator, a translator. I thought that was interesting. I think there's a lot of translating between kids and the father for their mother. A personal trainer, a bargain hunter, an encyclopedia. If you want to know something, you go to your mom. A comforter, and also a multitasker. Today is the day to celebrate all the mothers. Just think of all the mothers who actually would have get paid for all these services. They would become millionaires pretty quickly. I'd like to also share a few quotes about mothers. The first quote is, "A child's first teacher is its mother. The best place to cry is in your mother's arms. A mother is your best friend, your first friend, and your friend forever. Motherhood is the greatest thing and the hardest thing, period." And I'd like to share also this morning with you some scriptures about motherhood. Proverbs 31:35. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. 1 Peter 3:4. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This morning I'd like to share a story about a mother. It's pretty familiar. I'd like to share with you with Mary, Christ Jesus' mother. And the story is in John 2:1-11. This is when Jesus changed the water into wine. And when we look at this, we look at the first miracle of Christ Jesus. We really don't look towards Mary and what she did. On the third day of the wedding that took place in Cana of Galilee, Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour is not yet come." When Jesus said woman, he meant this in a favorable light. I think Aramaic translation shows a sign of affection with that word, woman. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." At this particular point, there was no argument from Jesus. His mother told the servants what to do, and Jesus did what his mother asked. Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Draw some out and take to the masters of the banquet." So they did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that he had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. Through the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guest had had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." It is an interesting fact that Jesus' mother played such a great part in Jesus' ministry. And it's also interesting that she was part of his first miracle. Even though it wasn't Jesus' time, again, Jesus understood her, obeyed her, and loved her. This morning, I'd like to thank Greg, and I'd like to thank Noah for doing this. I think it gave us an opportunity to thank our mothers and what they meant to us. Just be with them today, and if you have the opportunity, give them a phone call. Shall we pray? Dear God, we thank you for this day, Father, that we can come to you. We also thank you for putting aside a day that we can actually look towards our mothers and give them honor. And dear God, we just ask that when we do this, we give your Son, Christ Jesus, the most honor, because everything is through him. We just thank you, and we just ask you to keep us and watch us through this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Charlie and Noah. Appreciate that very much. This is what we do each Sunday, what we call our hymn of invitation. This is an opportunity, if you've not given your life to Christ, to please come forward and make that commitment of faith. Those of us that are already Christians, if we need to rededicate our life, this is a good time to do that as well. Why we're we're singing our heavenly vision. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell.